begin my homily today with a question for you to think about during the course of this homily. Here it is. After my homily, we're going to do our Nicene Creed. And within the Nicene Creed, outside of any reference to the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God, Lord, Jesus, any of that, there are two people mentioned by name in the Creed. Two mentioned by name outside of the Trinity. All right? I want you to figure out who that is, okay? It's all right if you want to look it up while I preach. That's fine if you want to pull out your book just to see. Who are those two names mentioned beyond the Trinity? Because they're going to become very important here at the end of this homily. Well, we finally come to the end, okay? But remember with the end, we always have to think about this. The end always can be bittersweet or it can be a time of immense joy. Think about it. You go to a movie. You watch a movie. You love it. And you say to yourself, this was excellent. I'm glad I spent 2 hours come here to watch this movie. Can't wait to do it again. Then you have the other end where all of a sudden you say, boy, that was terrible. What an utter waste of my time. I wasted 2 hours of my life for something that I should have probably never come for anyway because I didn't really like the movie in the first place and I'll never watch it again. Or it can fall anywhere in between the spectrum. Well, today, everyone, as I said, is the end. But for us to get to the end, we have to have a what? Beginning. And with the beginning, we also have to add the plots, the twists, the turns to get us to the end. So here are a few of the plots, the twists, the turns, the stories that we heard throughout this year of grace. So here are the stories, some of them at least. Began with a call. Peter and Andrew, then James and John. With these four in tow, Jesus heals those with unclean spirits, man who's deaf and mute, a leper, a paralytic. This healing power caught the attention of people, those who would follow him and those who would oppose him. We heard about miracles, the calming of the sea, the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. We heard parables. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. We learned the four chosen became 12. We heard Jesus tell us to eat and drink. Eat my body, drink my blood. And finally, we are left with the disciples of Jesus not getting it. Peter rebukes Jesus over talking about suffering and death. So a second time, Jesus tries it, predicts I'm going to suffer and die. And what do they talk about? Who is the greatest? They don't get it. These are the twists, the turns, the stories that finally get us now to the end, and we're to the end. The last gospel of this year of grace. And what do we have? Two men. Face to face, eye to eye, Pilate and Jesus Christ. And Pilate starts out asking the question, are you a king? Are you a king? And if you actually look at this gospel of today, nowhere does Jesus come out and say, yes, Pilate, I am a king. Why? Pilate's vision of a king is narrow. Okay? We understand that. We're a governor, and all of a sudden, there's another king within our domain. What does that mean? We're going to have some kind of power struggle here. You versus me, me versus you. So if Jesus comes out and says, yes, I'm a king, that's bingo. The lights go off in Pilate, and what does he think? All of a sudden, political aspirations. There can be only one king here. And to settle it, it's going to become violent to the core. That's why Jesus never comes out and says, yes, I am. And yet, the end is marked by a solemnity that we call Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. So if Jesus never comes out and says, yes, Pilate, I am a king, and yet we claim he is a king, what kind of kingdom are we talking about here? You know, in the preface of Mass, the preface is right before the Holy Holy. We're going to hear today, in the preface of Christ the King, seven attributes of Jesus Christ, seven of them, that really mark his kingship and also his kingdom. I want to go through these today and just give a brief thought on each of them. There are seven. Number one, kingship of Jesus is a kingdom of truth. John 14:6, Jesus states, I am the truth. It's important to know what he didn't say. He didn't say he would show the truth, teach the truth, or model the truth. All of which he did. Jesus said much more. He is the truth, truth personified. If you want to see and know truth, look to a person, look to Jesus Christ. How many of us in this church would say, I am the truth? None of us. Jesus did. Want truth? Look at Jesus. It's a kingdom of life. Think about Jesus points to life. To the saint, Jesus is life. To the sinner, Jesus is life. To the believer, Jesus is eternal life. Life, life, life. Kingdom of holiness. Jesus Christ lived holiness. His very life, everything that he did, pointed to the Father. To the outcast, he gave hope. To the sinner, he gave forgiveness. To those who followed him, he gave a command. Here it is, people. Be holy because I am holy. Be holy. It's a kingdom of grace. Grace is the help God gives us to respond to our vocation as sons and daughters of God. So how do we stand on truth in the midst of persecution and oppression? Grace. How do we forgive when we don't want to forgive? Grace. How do we love when we want to hate someone? It's grace. Grace, always grace. It's a kingdom of justice. Jesus Christ brought a new way of thinking and believing. To the enemy, he said, forgive. To the outcast, they were invited to be part of God's family. To those who had no hope in Jesus, they found hope. It's very different from a world built on a kingdom of domination, destruction, hatred, and egoism. We can find a little bit of that in our world today. Okay, it's a kingdom of love. The thing about the kingdom Jesus established was built on love. God, with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. The founding principle of love comes from the fact that God is love. And finally, it's a kingdom of peace. Jesus came to establish peace, peace between people, peace in hearts, peace and forgiveness, peace and love. And that's what makes this gospel so intriguing. Here we have two men face to face, eye to eye, and they say, here are two different types of kingdoms, kingships. Here they are. For Pilate, it's violence, Jesus, justice. Pilate, it's about power. Jesus, it's about love. Pilate, it's about fear. Jesus, it's about peace. And so, we come back to the question I posed of you earlier. Outside of the Trinity, there are two people mentioned by name in the Nicene Creed. Who are they? Mary and Pilate. Now, I'm going to share the words surround them and listen to how different their stories are. Here they are. Mary, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. Surrounded by mystery and humble, yes, Jesus Christ came to us through a poor virgin named Mary. Compared to, listen to this, for our sake, he was crucified under. One brought him into the world, one crucified him. There's no humility here. Pilate's concern isn't another, it's about himself. If riot explodes over this king, this Jesus, it falls on me. The solution is simple, Jesus must go. Isn't that amazing? Here we have our creed. Etched in that creed, we have two different ways we can go. And as we come to the end now, we realize with the fact we're left with a choice. What way do I choose? What way do I go? Okay, take that with you this week. Really think about it, brothers and sisters. Pray that we be about Jesus Christ, who is the King. And for the times that we fail in that, let's ask God's mercy and forgiveness. So blessings to you as we set our sights on the new year of grace, 2022.